1, 2, 3.
You're listening to Sports Talk Chicago with your host, John Zagluhl.
John, I am fantastic. Thank you for having me. You got an awesome voice, man, and that was a terrific intro. You're like a pro's pro.
You know, that was the first time somebody ever said that, John. No, you're the first person to ever say anything like that. That's very interesting.
You got it, John. Anything for a fellow Chicago guy.
Well, what a great question.
That's a great question. Nobody's actually asked me that.
I like it. What a great question. I never heard that before.
Chase Utley is what? You're saying he's not a Hall of Fame candidate?
You know, it's funny. You may be the only person that I've heard make that connection.
Thank you, John, for having me. I'm doing great. By the way, you have an outstanding voice. Not sure about your face because I haven't met you, but your voice is great.
You're doing a much better job than I ever did. You've had some heavy hitters guests on too, man, so keep up the good work. But it's good to be with you, and I'm ready to talk sports.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into Sports Talk Chicago. My name's John Zagluhl. Great to have you here. On the Monday edition of the program, should the Cubs trade Chris Bryant? We'll explain in just a moment. Plus, a brand new exclusive interview with Greg Gumbel. He's the NFL on CBS broadcaster and the host of March Madness studio coverage. We talk with him about the Bears draft pick of Justin Fields, what to expect from them in 2021, his hatred for baseball's new rules, and so much more. It's a great interview. And it comes your way near the midway point of this show. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zagluhl. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SportsTalkChicago.com. Today's show is brought to you by State Farm agent Brian McDevitt. Here's the deal. When you combine State Farm home and auto insurance, save an average of $889. State Farm agent Brian McDevitt is ready to help you combine home and auto and save in Chicago and the surrounding suburbs. Call Brian today at 630-796-2662. That's 630-796-2662. Or visit his website, ryanismyagent.com. That's ryanismyagent.com. And make sure to mention Sports Talk Chicago. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. I want to start today with this. When you invest in a stock, you do it for maximum returns. Sometimes it works. Sometimes you get burned. Look at Dogecoin. 70 cents a week ago, and it tanked. And a lot of people stayed in and lost money. They expected it to reach a dollar, and it went back down to 40 cents. The moral of that story is, don't be too greedy. If you see returns, get out while you still can. Because eventually, you're going to get burned. If you wait too long, if you think more is coming, it won't. Chris Bryant's playing pretty well. I'd argue the best baseball he's ever played. 306 average, 9 homers, 1,000 OPS, perennial MVP candidate. He's playing better than his MVP season right now. So my question is, what the hell are the Cubs doing? Trade him. I can't believe this is even a question to people. It's exactly like a stock. Exactly. Same thing. What are the Cubs waiting for? It's not like he's going to play better. Not going to hit 330, have a 1,200 OPS, bash 60 home runs, and be like Barry Bonds. This is his ceiling. Nothing wrong with that. Perennial MVP. Great player. Top of the NL in WAR. Home runs, near the top, batting average, RBIs. Statistically, he's putting up great numbers. Best of his career, no question. So what's the holdup? Why is there hesitation? Look, say what you want, Cubs fans. You could think better days are to come. You could think this team's going to turn it around, or not. And that's not being a hater. That's the truth. Did you believe before the season began, after they traded Yu Darvish, after they got rid of Kyle Schwarber, John Lester, did you believe they were World Series contenders? I'm asking. Did you think they'd be in the World Series this year? 2021. No, you didn't. No one did. And even though they're on a run, even though they beat the Dodgers, now they're kicking the Pirates' butt, does anyone still believe differently? Do people actually think the Cubs are World Series contenders? No. The fan in you may say yes, but the reality is no. No chance. What's the next course of action then? You have some assets. You have teams willing to trade and make a deal. Chris Bryant would be a rental. You could bring in a massive haul for Bryant and trade him for a half a season. I don't see what the big problem is. I see it from a sentimental perspective. I see fans don't want to get rid of him. I get it. Homegrown player, first-round pick, MVP, Rookie of the Year, World Series champion. That era is over. Here is your chance to get ready for the next era of Cubs baseball. Out with the old, in with the new. Use the old to build the new. That's what the Cubs have to do here. It may not be popular. Fans may think this is unwarranted. You're getting rid of our best player. In 5 years, you'll be happy. Remember 2013, Ryan Dempster at a 2.25 ERA at the All-Star break. Cubs legend. I was with Marquis. Been around a long time. The Cubs traded him to Texas. And they got a couple of unknown prospects. One named Carl Edwards Jr. and the other, Kyle Hendricks. They used the old. They used a storied player for that era to get a new player, who now defines a certain era in Cubs history, too. Kyle Hendricks pitched Game 7. Kyle Hendricks is still here to this day. For the past 5 years, 6 years, he's been one of the best pitchers on this staff, consistent. We all know and cherish what he's done for this team. That's a fact. That all happened because the Cubs said, got to get rid of Dempster. We have to make a move now. His stock is high. Ryan Dempster pitching a 2.25 ERA. Trade him now. 2006, Greg Maddux. 40-year-old Greg Maddux. They flipped him for some prospects. Sent him out to LA. It happens every year for this team. And by the way, Greg Maddux, Hall of Fame baseball player. The Cubs traded him. Homegrown. Cy Young Award winner with the team. He was dealt. Yes, business decision. And it worked. So if they're willing to trade one of the greatest pitchers in baseball history, why is it unprecedented to trade Chris Bryant? Why is that a problem? It's only a problem for the people who don't want to see the dynasty broken up. Newsflash, it's broken up already. We're not going anywhere. It's a fact. This team is not a World Series contender. And it's not even controversial to say that. It's the truth. They're not winning the World Series. So if you have a guy who's putting up great numbers and you have a chance to build the future, you do it now. This is the best time to put out some feelers and see what you would get back for Chris Bryant. A couple of prospects, maybe a draft pick, MLB-ready player. This could be a blockbuster of a trade. And the Cubs wouldn't have to extend it. So no wasting money later. Then you could pick and extend Rizzo, or Baez, or both. And Bryant could say he loves Chicago. Maybe he does. But does he like a rebuild? See, there's a difference here. Anthony Rizzo made it through a rebuild. Bryant got here, and they were already winning. Can he deal with a losing culture? I don't know. And why do that to him? Why do that to an MVP, Rookie of the Year, Cubs legend? He doesn't deserve that. Move him to a winning team. Have him play left field, third base, doesn't matter. And have him be an asset to someone who really needs him. Don't waste away his career here in Chicago. Look, it'd be different if the Cubs were going somewhere. They're not. They're on the verge of rebuilding. And the only reason why it hasn't happened yet is because of business. They're worried about business. Who's showing up to games? Who's caring about this team? They go back and rebuild. They're trying their best to delay this whole thing. I get it. I understand. Worried about money. Fans are coming back. You want them to come to the games. New TV network, paying a lot of people. Renovating Wrigleyville. A lot of money has been spent and it needs to be recouped. I understand. But you'd be crazy to not consider trading Bryant today. I mean it right now. If the Cubs made it public and said, we want to get rid of Chris Bryant, I wonder how many inquiries they'd get. What offers they'd get. It would be so compelling. And they'd eventually get an offer they couldn't refuse. And at that point, I wouldn't care who it's from. Could be intra-division, could be the White Sox, doesn't matter. You need to build for your future. You need to usher in a new era of Cubs baseball. The only way that happens is if you get rid of the old and use it to bring in the new. It's happened many a time in the past, so you can't say this is new, I don't like this. Did you like the Dempster trade? Did you like the Maddox trade? This happens. It's happened many a time. And to the Cubs' credit, it's always worked for the most part. I mean, to flip Ryan Dempster in 2013 and to bring in Kyle Hendricks, it's pretty remarkable. One of the best trades in Cubs history. Not kidding. It is. Another chance to do it here. Give up a perennial MVP candidate, a guy who's hitting 300, OPS above 1,000, and bring in the next Chris Bryant, the next part of the future. Two or three parts of the future. You can do it. I mean, if the Cubs acquired Jose Quintana for Eloy Jimenez, Dylan Cease, and a big package of prospects, if they acquired Aroldis Chapman for Gleyber Torres, amongst others, they could definitely give up Bryant and bring in a great package. That's a fact. And when you're at this point, when you know you are not winning the World Series, I don't see why there's any opposition. I don't understand that. It'd be different if you were in the heat of a pennant race. If you knew more was to come. At this point, the Cubs will be lucky if they even make the playoffs. And they'll be swept out immediately. That's a fact. And no, Cubs fans, that's not hating on your team. It's the truth. And if you don't believe that, you're being blinded, and you want to believe that somehow 2016 will happen again, get over it. It's over. You need to plan for your future. Even your favorite writers, like Gordon Wittenmeyer, are saying, this team isn't going anywhere. They're not. Yes, the Cubs beat up the Dodgers. Good job. They're playing well against Pittsburgh. Great. They're not a World Series contender. They're not going anywhere. Quote, and the Cubs aren't fooling anyone or going anywhere this season. Tuesday's effort against Kershaw and Bauer notwithstanding. Correct. They're not. They're not. So if you know that, and you know you have one of the best players in baseball on your team now, perform it. Do it. What did I say to open up this show? When you have the highest return on your stock, you sell, and you make your money. It is very possible for Chris Bryant to regress. It is. It's very possible for him to go back down to 240 and end the year with 15, 20 homers. Maybe he gets hurt. Who knows? Each day that you wait, the risk gets bigger and bigger. As we talk today, 1,000-plus OPS, 300-plus batting average, 9 homers, 22 RBIs, leads all of baseball in doubles. The longer you wait, the longer you think you have a chance, you're worried about revenue, you're going to be disappointed. I'm not saying Bryant will regress, but if you think it's not a possibility, then you're being delusional. It's very possible it could still happen. This is early. Imagine what the return could be today versus in July when he's back hitting 240. And then everyone will say, well, the Cubs made a mistake. His price is at its peak. Playing great baseball. Would be an asset to any team who called in and inquired. Make the move. Don't wait. Don't fret. Don't be nostalgic. Don't think with your heart. Make the move. It just makes sense. And Cubs fans, if you can't see it, everybody else can. People who aren't partial and know the business of the game, everybody sees it. This is the time to do it. Right now. He's finally back. You couldn't trade him after 2016 because that'd be stupid. They just won the World Series. But ever since then, it's been a downward slope. Every year has been worse and worse. Now, he's back to the MVP self he was. Trade him. Your team is going nowhere. The Cubs will be lucky if they get in as a wild card team. Seriously. So are we going to sit here and play the wild card game every year and just hope they get in and never face reality? Or are the Cubs going to say, you know what? We know we're not going anywhere. There is no World Series coming. The only way it does come is if we make a move, get rid of the old, bring in the new. Start from scratch and rebuild. The haul for Bryant today would be immense. Immense. But every day that you wait, you bring on the possibility of an injury, of regression, of something hurting his value. His value is at an all-time high right now. Make the move. I didn't see anybody complain when Ryan Dempster was traded. Greg Maddux. Everyone was happy. Ryan Dempster yielded Kyle Hendricks. Can you imagine what Chris Bryant would yield in a trade? Seriously. My goodness. You could bring in two or three big prospects who could define the next generation of Cubs baseball. It's all waiting for you. It's all right here. You just have to make the move. Listen to the offers. And if I were the Cubs today, I would make it known. Yeah, we're thinking about it. See the inquiries you get. They would be significant. And then you'd have your choice. You'd be in the driver's seat. You could say, no, not that one. We want more. You would have the leverage and the control. That would eventually lead to your future top three prospects, your future superstars, whom you could groom starting today. The longer you wait, the worse it's going to be. So if I were the Cubs, I'd be listening. I'd be ready, and I'd make the move to help out the future. More to come here on Sports Talk Chicago. My interview with Greg Gumbel comes up next, so stay tuned. Hey, do you want to make some money this weekend? What if I told you I could offer you $250 free to bet on any game you want? Here's what you have to do. Go to sportstalkchicago.com/cash. sportstalkchicago.com/cash. Must be 21 plus. Must be an Illinois resident. You can bet $250 free on any game you want for this upcoming weekend. Cubs and White Sox are playing. The Bulls about to finish up their season. Blackhawks still alive. And yes, Bears prop bets, they're going strong. This is, without question, the best time to put down some money and win a whole lot more back. That's sportstalkchicago.com/cash. sportstalkchicago.com/cash. You have a gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Talk Chicago. Here with John Zagluel, and we are back and ready for today's special guest. He's an NFL on CBS broadcaster and the studio host of March Madness coverage. Please welcome Greg Gumbel to the program. Greg, it's great to have you on. How are you?
I'm glad to be back, John. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for being here. What was your reaction to the Justin Fields pick for the Bears?
I can't say that I was surprised. I think that probably Bears fans are grateful that their team was aggressive enough to go out and realize what they needed to do. And that's no reflection on Andy Dalton, but Andy Dalton has been around for a few years. He certainly is not your guy for the future because you need to plan for that. And in fact, Andy Dalton would be a good guy for Justin Fields to study under for a season. But I thought it was a good move by the Bears. I think that a lot of people, They kind of thought it would happen. They just didn't know quite how the Bears would go about getting it done, or if they would get it done. But kudos to them. They did what they had to do.
Did they give up too much in moving up?
You never know that. You never know that until it happens. You know, you and I probably talked about this before. These people who go on the air and make predictions, it's all so stupid. Because you never, it really is. Well, this team is going to win this division, and this team is going to flop, and you never know that. Well, these guys are really strong. You never know how the loss of certain players is going to affect a team, or during the offseason. You never know how the new players coming in, how those acquisitions are going to fit in with what you already have. You may make these draft picks, and you can reel off a bunch of draft picks who have flopped over the years. And so there's no guarantee that they're going to live up to the hype. I have always said during the NFL season that you can't really get a read on a team and how it is in the new season until you're at least 6 weeks in, 6 or 7 games into the season, because only then can you tell whether this kid coming out of college, boy, he was really NFL ready, or he was just a great college football player, and that's where it ends. You know, so it's there are so many ifs, ands, and buts. But for anyone to come out and say, well, these are the two teams that are going to meet in the Super Bowl, please, you know, give me one team, give me one guy that said Tampa Bay was going to be in the Super Bowl, let alone win the whole thing. I think that the most optimistic belief for Tampa Bay last year was that with the addition of Tom Brady and a good defense already in place, that they would make the playoffs. But I don't think anybody had predicted that they would go as far as they did.
How surprising was that for you to see them go that far?
Well, you know, I'm not sure that my opinion counts for anything, because 2 seasons ago, Bruce Arians was my broadcast partner.
Right.
Yeah, he was in the booth with me. So I had nothing but good wishes for Bruce. And I've always thought he's a hell of a coach. So I didn't know if I really felt that way or if I'm just feeling that way because I like Bruce. But the fact of the matter is that I do think they exceeded everyone's expectations, except probably Bruce's. But I think he's shown in a couple of different areas now that he's a really good coach, and that's good for him. And I don't think I need to add to the applause for Tom Brady. I think he gets enough of that.
Have you communicated with Bruce after they won the Super Bowl?
Oh my God, I talked to him. I talked to him a quarter after midnight that night.
Really? What did he say? What was that conversation like?
I said, you really need to raise a glass to yourself. And he goes, working on it. because we did that every now and then when we worked together. You know, we'd arrive on Friday and we'd do some player interviews and we'd have dinner together, our whole crew. And he's just a delightful person. And he would look at various teams and, you know, he let me know that there were teams that were contacting him during the season that work together, because you're never really sure that someone is done when they say they are, because sometimes that old nagging feeling will come back and grab you and won't let you get away. And you know, it's kind of like an itch that still needs to be scratched. But sure, he and I have been in touch ever since he left. I called him a deserter. You know, I told him, yeah, go ahead. Just because they pay you more money than we could afford to pay you. But I'm so happy for him. And you know, he's a good guy. Players tell me he's great to play for, but he's a no nonsense guy too. And sometimes you don't find both of those qualities in the same coach.
What was he like as a broadcaster with you?
You know, I think he could have been okay if he had given it if he'd given it more of a shot than one season. The tough thing about someone coming in who has never done it before is that they've never done it before. And it's one of those things that I'm very happy to say. I've seen people come into the business and they find out that it isn't as easy as we often make it sound. That sometimes they find, oh, this is not a snap, and this is not something that I can just do off the top of my head. I need to do a little homework and be a little bit knowledgeable in the things that I'm talking about. Now, I think with Bruce's case, and then I teased Trent Green because I said, here's the thing that Trent liked. Trent, I told Trent, you have somebody in the booth now who speaks your language. And it's true. They would start talking about things. Well, when you're playing quarters on the defense, you got this, you got the overrunner. And I'm like, what are you people talking about? But they understood each other perfectly. They were great together. And so I think that Bruce got a little bit into the habit of talking to Trent when he should be talking to the audience. And sometimes he would get a little bit too technical. And he wouldn't explain things the way they had to be. You know, John Madden's great gift was making a complicated game simple. He would break things down so that the audience and the average fan would understand what was going on the field. And Bruce, I think, eventually would have gotten there, but you don't get that done in 1 or 2 months or the first season, sometimes not even the first or second season. His delivery was a little bit muted. And as I said, he didn't realize he needed to be talking to the audience and not necessarily to Trent Green in the booth. But I thought that he was a little rough around the edges at times. We had our very first game. We were in Cleveland, and it was Cleveland against Pittsburgh. And Bruce referred to a lot of guys by their first names because he's been on a first name basis with them for years and years and years. And the Steelers, there was an incomplete pass, and we were talking about it, and Bruce said, well, he had Antonio wide ass open at the 5-yard line. And, you know, during the commercial, we say, you know, we got a kick out of that. Trent and I got a big kick out.
Greg Gumbel here on Sports Talk Chicago. Greg, what excites you about Justin Fields and the Bears right now?
Well, I think for the Bears, and for a lot of people, it's not just Justin Fields. It's any team that picks up a youngster coming out of college, the Jets with Zach Wilson and Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville, you're excited to see if the potential that you have witnessed on film and in game action transfers to the National Football League. You know, the talent is there, but that's never a guarantee that someone's going to make it. And you know, John, as well as I do, the reverse is always true. Tom Brady was a 6th-round draft choice. Come on. You know, that is, in retrospect, crazy, but it's a fact. So, and you always know, remember Ryan Leaf? Ryan Leaf was the #2 draft pick overall. He had a strong, strong arm. But as far as accuracy, or what was his name? LaMarcus, the Raiders picked Jamarcus Russell. Jamarcus Russell could stand in front of a barn 25 yards away and still not hit the barn. I went into town. I met into town one day and I was looking at the statistics prior to a game with him, and his completion percentage was below 55%. You know, what are you, nuts? How are you gonna win football games completing less than 55%? Even guys who are losing football games are averaging 60-65% completion. So there's never a guarantee. But what I think that fans need to be excited about is that he has the potential and he has the promise to do wonderful things on the football field. And I think it's going to be a thrill for fans. And there's going to be some losses and mistakes along the way. And, you know, shame on you if that takes you by surprise and you get disgruntled by that, because it happens with everyone. But people are going to watch, and I think they're going to be pleased by his abilities. And hopefully for the Chicago area, they'll see an improvement in their team and promise for the future.
What's your #1 concern about the Bears right now?
Oh, I don't know. I like their coach. I've liked their team anytime I've had a chance to do them in the last couple of years. You know, I think the #1 concern is to continue to build on past, you know, here's the thing too. You know, they had some rough ups and downs with Mitchell Trubisky, and it stalled the progress of the team, because when you make a draft pick, and they went out of their way to get Mitchell Trubisky, when you get a draft pick that high, you want it to work like the world is dependent on it. And it doesn't always happen that way. And yet you don't want to bail on a guy too soon, but you don't want to overhype it anyway. And I think they went as far as they could. And that means continuing to build on the things that you've accomplished in the last couple of seasons. And from the Bears' point of view, it probably isn't, you know, a lot of the fans say, well, it's just, it hasn't been that great. But I think that the progress that that they've made there is significant. And the problem they have now is how to work Justin Fields into the mix without taking a step backwards. And he has to learn, the Bears have to learn with him, but also they're going to have Andy Dalton leading the way for a little while, and trying to continue to build on a record and teach this youngster at the same time.
Did you like that signing?
Well, you know, you had to do something, because at that point they didn't know what they were going to do in the draft. They knew what they needed. They didn't know whether or not they were going to get what they needed. And a guy like Andy Dalton, and I don't mean this to denigrate Andy Dalton at all. Andy Dalton is a fine quarterback. He has been a fine quarterback in the league for a long, long time. He just happened to have the misfortune to play with the dreadful Cincinnati Bengals. And the fact that that he was out there and available, I don't think that the Bears could afford to wait to see what was going to happen with the draft. I think Andy Dalton would have been gone to someone else by the time the draft came around. And so I think they made the decision that they had to make, and I don't think it's a bad decision at all.
Greg Gumbel here on Sports Talk Chicago. Greg, what's wrong with baseball right now?
You mean other than doubleheader games going only 7 innings or extra innings starting with a man on second base? I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. It's just stupid. Absolutely stupid. It's not the same game that I grew up knowing and loving. The very fact that that they have the dumbest thing is the warnings to both benches whenever there are pitches that are too close to the hitter. Another thing is, well, the player, the catcher is really not allowed to block home plate. Why? Would that be unfair? You know, there's no more trying to take out a shortstop at second base to avoid it, you know, to eliminate a double play. All of that is stuff that people, even playing the game, people who have been injured in those situations have grown up knowing and understanding. The players understand it. But you know, of all of the things that I have heard, I've heard that they're doing the whole thing about shortening the game because baseball games are running too long. Who's complaining about baseball games running too long? I've never heard that complaint. Not ever. Anybody who loves the game of baseball, you sit there and you watch the game, whether it's in the stands or at home on TV, and you love the game. Level of being upset that I've had was when the game was over. I love baseball to the point where, yeah, I play it all day. I don't care. 15, 16 innings, it's a great day. But no, they've gone way overboard in trying to correct something that really didn't need correcting. And that's in various areas. It's not just this area or that area. The whole thing about, oh, when can you take a pitcher out? When can you put it back in? I hate the shift. I can't stand the shift. Put two ball players on one side of second base and two on the other, and leave them there. And everybody plays by the same rules. And now you got me started, John, because now I'm all upset about all this.
Do you watch games anymore?
Absolutely.
Even with all this going on, you still do?
Sure. Yeah. Well, because, you know, what else would I have to complain about?
Let me ask you this. How concerning is the strikeout rate to you?
Oh, it's horrible. It's horrible because there are people who don't play and don't teach the game of baseball anymore. You know, to me, the strikeout thing in baseball is the very same as the three-point thing in the NBA. It is out of control and it's ruining the game. I think that, well, gosh, was it 3 years ago, 4 years ago? There was a New York Mets game I was watching, and it cried out for a sacrifice bunt. And after the game, and he didn't, the guy struck out. And after the game, they asked the manager, why didn't you have him bunt? He says, well, because he's never laid down a bunt in Major League ball, and so I didn't think he could do it. That is criminal. Little leaguers learn how to bunt. Pony leaguers, high school baseball, they all know how to bunt. This guy couldn't lay down a bunt. And shot is, the idea is strikeouts. And the strikeout is the result of everybody in the lineup, top to bottom, trying to hit a home run. You can tell by the bad pitches that they swing at. You can tell by the mighty swing that's just out of control. It's either a hit or miss, and there are way too many strikeouts in Major League Baseball these days. And look, you ever hear an announcer say, oh, he was caught looking. He wasn't caught looking. He was caught guessing. Because there's no reason to take a fastball for strike three waist high down the middle of the plate, and he guessed wrong. There are so many aspects to the game that are beautiful, and today's baseball takes a lot of that out of it, and that bothers me.
Should they move the mound back, or is that even necessary? Because this seems like a hitter problem, not a pitching problem.
Well, I think it is a hitter problem, and what they're doing is they're trying to get more. It was the same reason they did the DH, which I think is hilarious, because you get a DH and you go, well, how did this DH do last night? Oh, he went 0-for-4 with 4 strikeouts. Well, what the hell kind of a designated hitter is that? You know? No, I don't think that lowering the mound is the answer. I think that what'll happen is you will have a lot more people hitting home runs than you do now, because maybe a mile or two off the fastball is all some guys need. You know, a lot of guys can't catch up to a 98 mile an hour fastball, but they can catch up to one that's 95, and on down the line. I think it's one of those things that there is a trend in sports in general for more offense, because that is the ticket that they feel will sell their sport. I understand it to a degree because I feel that way about soccer. I'm never, ever, ever ashamed or embarrassed to say that I don't like the game of soccer. It's not that they're not terrific athletes. I know that they are. But the fact is that if you have a soccer game that ended 2-1, if you had played the game without goalies, it would have been 3-2. That is how infrequently you get, and the ball rolls out of bounds and the clock still goes, and I don't care if they add time at the end of the 90 minutes. I just think it's a weird, weird sport, and the people are jumping around up and down in the stands no matter what's happening on the field. So suffice to say, I'm not a big soccer fan, but the whole emphasis in all sports, look, they eliminated the two-line pass. Ability of more breakaways on the goalie. In football, you know what they've done. You cannot touch the quarterback, and you cannot touch a wide receiver, because basically that hinders the offensive thrust. In baseball, I think that's another step. One of the things that has hurt the offensive side of baseball are these, I don't want to call them names, but these managers who will change pitchers at the drop of a hat. You know, there was a story when Tom Seaver was pitching for the New York Mets, and he was into the eighth inning, and the bases were loaded in a tight game, and Yogi Berra, the manager, comes out of the dugout. And the story is, Yogi walks up onto the mound, and Tom Seaver looks at him, and he said, get your butt back into the dugout, Yogi. And Yogi went, okay. And he turned around and he left the pitcher's mound. There was a time you would never do that to a Bob Gibson. You would never do that to Bob Feller or Sandy Koufax. You know, but because a manager thinks that his pitcher might be getting weak, he comes in and all of a sudden here's a fresh pitcher in a crucial situation. Like the Yankees bring in Aroldis Chapman. He came in the other night. I watched the game that they were playing, I think it was against Detroit. He comes in and his first three pitches are above 100 miles an hour. And you go, well, gee, I'm glad we got through the rest of the order in order to get to that. strange situation, and I think that they believe that it sells the sport more. I don't. I don't think that in any sport you give enough credit to the defense, and you should.
Is Rob Manfred the worst commissioner in sports, Greg?
Yeah, he might be. He might be. I think that I don't like some of the things that that they do in the National Hockey League. I think hockey is a terrific sport. This coming from a person who has never been on a pair of ice skates in his life. I cannot attempt to ice skate. However, I can watch a hockey game between the two worst teams in the league on television because I love the sport. I love the anticipation. I love the grit that they have and the tenacity that they go after their sport. You know, any sport that wears you out after you've only been on the ice for 2 minutes, you know, is going to be taxing. But yeah, I don't like what Manfred has done or what he is allowing to happen in Major League Baseball. At this point, it may be beyond his control now, and he probably can't do very much with it.
More to come with Greg Gumbel in just a moment. Stay tuned. This is Sports Talk Chicago. Gumbel, still here on Sports Talk Chicago. Greg, two more questions before we finish up. First off, the most memorable game you broadcasted is what?
Well, you know, I've done two Super Bowls, 35 and 38, and 38 went right down to the final buzzer when a New England field goal won it as time was expiring. But there's a different, but the thing is that those were big games, not necessarily great games, but those were big games. And I suppose there's something to be said for that. I'm not sure that I can pinpoint any particular game because I kind of put things in the rearview mirror once I'm done with them. You know, every year around March Madness time, our PR department comes around and they go, well, you know, we would like your stories. What's your best story from last year? I go, I don't remember last year. I don't. The game is over and I'm done with it. And hey, we'll move on. You know, the last year may come up in a little bit of the research that you do for the following year. But I'm not one of those that, you know, that will say, well, I remember back in 71, Arnold Palmer was on the 14th green and he chipped him. And then don't get me started with golf because I'm not big on golf either. But that's another story. But I guess I'm just not, John, one of those who puts it in the vault and goes, gosh, I can go back and remember this at a certain moment or that at a certain moment. I enjoy the games that I do, and some that haven't been good games were totally out of my grasp. But the fact is that, you know, I did a Jets game in Seattle, and the score was 37-0 at halftime. And I can guarantee you that was not a great game to do.
How do you get through those?
Oh, I think you need to be professional about it. And you have to realize that there are people who want to know what's going on. Look, the Jets have been horrendous for a couple of seasons, but that doesn't mean that when the game comes on, their fans tune it out. We used to get that backlash all the time during the tournament. The fans of Kentucky basketball are unbelievable. Unbelievable, because they could be leading by 35 points with 10 seconds to play. And you go, okay, we're going to take you here for the start of this other game, and the switchboard would blow up. You cannot take their games away. And conversely, you can be at a game that is tied with 15 seconds to play, and they're in a timeout and they're about ready to come back on the court to decide the game. You have to take that Kentucky audience to the jump ball of their game, or they will get supremely upset with you and make all kinds of threats. And of course, I'm the villain. It's my fault. It's my decision to take all of that away and, you know, get Greg Gumbel the hell off of there because I missed the tip off of the Kentucky game.
How do you know about that criticism? Because I know you're not on social media, right?
Nope, I'm not. However, there's no lack of callers into the CBS television network.
Really?
they won't hesitate to call. And, you know, nowadays, because of our agreement with Turner Sports, the tournament and every single one of its games is somewhere to be seen. And you don't have to rely on one network to switch you around and back and forth. But sure, I mean, every time, in fact, there were, I used to have a voicemail at CBS, and I don't have it anymore, because I really didn't care much for, you know, for answering it or listening to it or whatever. But the fact is that, that people used to leave messages for me, and I would forward them to Sean McManus, who was the president of CBS Sports. And he made a special trip into the studio one day, and he goes, please stop forwarding me those calls. I said, I just want you to know that they're coming in, and I happen to be the one getting them. And he says, well, I don't care what you do with them. And I said, that's good. You know, so I just started deleting them as they came in. But sure, people, there is a certain segment of the viewing and listening audience who sit there with pen and paper in hand, just waiting to jump on something that you said, whether it's mispronouncing a name or expressing an opinion that they think might have been against their team. And it happens, and they pick up the phone or they write a letter and they make their voices heard. And that's fine, you know, as long as they're sane and decent about it. I'm not big on being called every name in the book on a voicemail, and it's hardly going to win them a call back from me. But the fact is that it happens, and you know, and I understand fans, you know, after all, it's short for fanaticism and fanatics, and that's good, as long as they don't get out of control.
What's the worst voicemail you had played for you?
Oh gosh, there have been threats.
Really?
Sure. There have been threats. As if what I say on the air is the word of God. You know, come on, that's just what I thought, for Pete's sake. But there are times that I've done games and you walk away and the opinions are mixed. One thought I was favoring the LA Chargers. Another side thought I was favoring the Denver Broncos, which in that case, you know, you've done your job well because both sides are angry with you.
And Greg, before we finish up today, last question. Why did you react the way you did to the dancing in the studio from the Sweet 16?
I have tried really hard throughout my career not to look like an idiot on TV. I have tried very hard to not embarrass my loved ones, my friends, and myself. And I thought, I'm not going to do that. And but at the same time, I wasn't going to let them get away without being poked about it. So that's why I did what I did.
Why didn't you dance with them?
Oh, I just said I feel very strongly about not embarrassing myself, and I wasn't going to do that. There was no way I was going to do it. And I, you know, it kind of got the reaction that I hoped it would. And even my colleagues, you know, Seth and Clark and Wally, they all enjoyed it. And the fact that it came back on and played again, it was fun. It was fun, but I will only go so far.
Well, Greg, thank you so much for joining me. Always a pleasure to catch you up. And best wishes, of course, as the NFL season comes up and a new year comes with CBS. Thank you so much.
John, thanks for having me. I appreciate it as always.
Great talk there with Greg Gumbel. That'll do it for us today here on Sports Talk Chicago. Big thank you to Greg Gumbel himself, Matt Dubiel, WCKG, Jim DeTalb, and Tomorrow Entertainment for making this show a success. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zaglua. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SportsTalkChicago.com. Another great show comes your way tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening. Till then, stay safe, and so long, everyone.
No! No! Here are the Turtles!